Hey, another episode of the Anxiety RX podcast. I'm going to do these podcasts for a while just talking to you directly. I'm not going to have a guest. I have a lot of people that say your voice seems to calm me down. They've had some positive experience with listening to me and my book. So that's what I'm going to do for the next few episodes, maybe longer than that, is I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you about my experience with anxiety, how I overcame it. And hopefully if you're going for a walk in nature maybe, or driving from point A to point B, you can just listen to me talk to you about how we heal anxiety. And a huge part of anxiety, what I'm going to talk about today, is this immobility, this frozenness that we get locked into as a symptom of the scared, alarmed, protective self. Because when we're younger and in an environment where we can't have any control over traumatic things that are happening to us, and trauma doesn't mean to be like this huge issue. It can just be not getting your needs met. It can be not being heard. For me, not having my anger acknowledged or having my anger squashed. So after a number of times that happened, I just became frozen inside of myself. And when you become frozen inside of yourself, nothing changes. And in fact, the alarm gets worse. So immobility is a huge, huge issue and something we really need to overcome if we're going to overcome anxiety. Now, anxiety can create a deep sense of stuckness, not just mental, but somatic in our body. And I believe immobility stems from this survival-based adaptation when being your real self, being my real angry self, didn't feel safe to me in childhood. Now, I grew up with a mentally ill father and a highly, highly sensitive mother. And I learned that expressing myself, especially my anger or my needs, wasn't safe. I became immobilized as a protective adaptation to my surroundings. And you probably did too. So why did I abandon myself in this traumatic environment? Well, because I focused a lot on my parent. And if my parent wasn't safe, I wasn't safe. A lot of the energy went to my father because he was so mentally ill. And the focus shifts from self-discovery of myself to managing the emotional state of my parent. And this leads to a foundational split, survival versus self-connection. And that's devastating to a child. So the internal state of being stuck, this immobility, isn't just physical. It's a psychological and emotional freeze. In SE, we call it dorsal vagal shutdown. It just means that we freeze in victim mentality because we don't see any way out. As children, there wasn't a way out. We were powerless in that situation. So when we get this self-perception of a helpless, powerless person, it deepens this stuckness, this immobility. And then we unknowingly reinforce our own disempowerment and we become victims. And victims never escape anxiety because we become addicted to the chemicals of stress. It's familiar to us. What's familiar to you in childhood, you will reproduce in adulthood. So what's the role of healthy anger and mobilization? What did I have to learn to break through my anxiety pattern? Well, anger is a boundary-setting protective force. It's not destructive. It's protective. And most people with trauma history have shut down their access to this protective anger. Now, when you reclaim your anger, it helps you shift from victimhood into this place of empowerment. So understand that productive anger is for you. It's not against others. And this isn't about rage. It's about reclaiming your energy. So I now use my energy to stop being victimized by myself or anyone else. Anger mobilizes me. And the repetition compulsion and victim mentality identity that I created from that is broken when I actively go against it. We unconsciously recreate the pain of our childhood and our adulthood. That's the Freudian repetition compulsion. And these patterns become so ingrained, we don't see them. We actually be them. We become them. So awareness is the first step towards change. When you start to see it, you don't have to be it anymore. And awareness interrupts the repetition and opens the door to mobilization, to you being who you are. And alarm and immobility are intertwined. So the body alarm keeps the rational mind impaired and the protective self becomes dominant. And worry and helplessness are distractions from the deeper body-held pain. We go into our heads to avoid the pain in our body, the alarm in our body. And this alarm reinforces our victim mentality. So the more alarm we have, the more impaired our brains become with norepinephrine and all the stress chemicals. And the more helpless we feel, the more we freeze in a vicious cycle. So victimhood keeps alarm active and makes healing so much harder. So to break free from the victim cycle, we have to recognize the web that we're caught in. Immobility, alarm, victim identity, repetition, stuckness. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. Immobility, alarm, victim identity, repetition, and stuckness. And we get caught in this web. So awareness and healthy mobilization are the way out of the web. And it's not about pushing through, but understanding and integrating the true root cause, which is this alarm in our body from the younger version of ourselves that isn't being acknowledged, that isn't being seen, heard, open to, loved, and defended. So there's a part of our brain called the habenula. And the habenula is deep in our brain, and it controls serotonin and dopamine. So when the habenula is active, generally we're feeling negative, and the habenula will shut down dopamine in our brain. And when we shut down dopamine, we shut down movement. So it all works together. I believe the default mode network, we default into this state of the inner critic, self-negative referential thought, and that keeps us in this trap, and that activates the habenula, which shuts down our dopamine, which is one of the things that shuts down our ability and our feeling that we want to move. So we freeze in that state. And then when you're frozen in that victim state, all the negative thoughts of your mind start becoming more and more forefront. So when you're frozen, and on top of being frozen and held down, your brain is also holding you down with all these negative ideas, of course you're going to get more anxious, more alarmed. Of course, the alarm anxiety cycle is going to go nuts and just trap you in that trap. So what can we do to break the immobility? Well, movement is the first thing. You can put a song on that really gets you going. And I think it's really important to understand that when you're in this habenula-created dorsal vagal shutdown, you don't want to move. Almost from a primal state, you don't want to move. You're frozen there. Because the primal part of the human part of you says, if I move, I'm in trouble. If I move, something's going to eat me. Or if I move, someone's going to see me and something's going to happen. But really, that's going against everything you need to start healing. Really, you have to go against that sense of immobility because that immobility will trap you in the alarm anxiety cycle and you won't get out of it. The immobility is something that really locks us and creates this stuckness that allows us to stay in that alarm in our body and the worries of our mind, and we just keep looping and looping and looping. And the more we loop, the more negative we feel. The more negative we feel, the more that habenula gets activated and continually acts to shut us down, shuts down our dopamine, shuts down our motivation. That's the other part. Dopamine's really involved in our own motivation to do stuff. So you're lying there kind of frozen. Do you want to do something? Even something you like. There's a feeling like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to move. I don't want to get up. I want to sit here, lie here in my bed. Even getting up to get a shower sometimes when I was deep, deep in anxiety felt like a monumental task. So it's really about how do you get yourself moving? And you guys know I like Mel Robbins. Mel Robbins has this great thing, 5-4-3-2-1. 5-4-3-2-1, and then move. Because what that does is the longer you stay in immobility, the more your brain, your primitive brain, thinks that it's keeping you safe, when it's really just pinning you down and torturing you with negative thoughts. You know, if you were, you know, immobile in meditation, that's a little different because you're in control of that. You're not being poisoned by the fact that you don't have enough dopamine running around in your system. You have enough dopamine in your system. You're just choosing to stay connected to yourself. That meditation immobility is very, very different than the reactive, victim-based immobility that anxiety gets us into. So I think it's really important to understand, why am I immobile? If you're immobile because you're deathly afraid of something, that's going to cycle into something not so good. But if you're choosing to be immobile, like in meditation, that's different. That's learning to develop some tolerance around the immobility where you are still in charge. Because when you're in this low dopamine state, you're not in charge anymore. Your motivation's gone. And this is another reason why I think meditation is so helpful for people, because it teaches you that immobility doesn't have to be a one-way street. It doesn't have to be the end. You can move out of immobility. So one of the ways is put on a song that you really love. You know, my favorite is Disco Inferno. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So Disco Inferno is my song that gets me going every time. So I will play that in the morning. I will play Disco Inferno if I'm having a hard time getting out of bed, which is, you know, not a problem these days. When I was in anxiety, horrible problem. There was days where I wouldn't even leave my house. So music is so important to sort of get you going and get outside of that. The 5-4-3-2-1 go, like 5-4-3-2-1 go, go to the shower, go, get out. And then once you're out, put on a song, start dancing. And I know how hard this is. It sounds so easy when I say it, oh, just 5-4-3-2-1 it. It's so difficult because your brain is telling you to stay frozen. And almost from a primal sense, it's telling you to stay frozen because that's what's keeping you safe. And it's not keeping you safe. It's actually making things so much worse for you. So understanding that immobility is something that we experienced as children. Maybe we weren't held down. Maybe we were. But I know with my father, when he was in his depression phases and my mother was out at work, I felt tied to the house because I didn't know what he was going to do. I felt like I couldn't move out of the house because he was so unpredictable that I had to keep an eye on him. So I was immobile in a sense, and that immobility still affects me to this day. I do not like being held in some sort of environment where I don't want to be. Now, I've learned how to deal with it, and I've learned how to move myself through it. But it's just understanding that immobility is so uncomfortable for me because of what immobility meant for me as a child. I had to stay close to my father when my mother was working. So immobility for me felt like a prison sentence. And I think a lot of us had that feeling when we were younger of not having any agency in what's happening to us. So there is a frozenness, there is a stuckness, there is a feeling like this is being done to me. And not only is something being done to me, I have no power to get away from it. And that sense of immobility really primes your victim mentality, because after you've been held immobile for a long time and you can't get away because your father's still an alcoholic, your mother's still screaming at you, there's no way out of that. These are your caregivers, supposedly. So that sense of immobility stays with us. And there is that Freudian repetition compulsion to reproduce that familiarity of being frozen, which makes things even worse. It adds another level of complexity to this frozenness, because there is a familiarity with that frozenness. There is a sense of, oh, I've been here before. It's like that t-shirt that says, I'm in my own little world, but it's okay. They know me here. So it's understanding that we have to move. We have to move out of that. This is why going for a walk, you know, moving your eyes side to side, like they do in EMDR, when you go for a walk, your eyes are naturally moving side to side. And if you're outside walking, try to look up. It tends to be when we're anxious and feeling down that we look down. So if you try and look at least to eye level or above you, that will really help that eye movement back and forth. And that calms the amygdala. That calms your system down. So it's really understanding that immobility is one of the key factors that keeps us locked in anxiety and alarm. And if we understand that it's not helping us, even though it feels like it is, even though when you're frozen in that state, you feel like, oh, I'm tucked into the blankets. There is a second or two where you feel okay. But overall, it's just creating more and more alarm in your system. Or more importantly, not allowing you to discharge some of that alarm. So it's understanding that immobility in and of itself is a huge risk factor for continuation of victim mentality, which of course makes you feel more alarmed, which of course makes you feel more anxious, and it just locks you in that alarm anxiety cycle. So understanding that mobility, moving, is one of the best things you can do to get yourself out of an anxious phase. But I realize how hard it is when you're in that. I have been in that frozen state and it's all I can do to move. But this is where sometimes 5-4-3-2-1 helps. And you just say it and you just do it. You just do it. You just get into the shower. You just do it. Because the longer you wait, your brain starts thinking, oh, there must be something dangerous here because I'm not doing it. I'm stalling. There must be a reason why I'm stalling. There isn't, but there must be a reason why I'm stalling. So the brain uses that as a reason to keep stalling. So it's really about taking control and going, I'm going to move. There's a part of our brain called the anterior cingulate cortex, specifically the mid-anterior cingulate cortex, that sort of redirects you into a different frame of reference. So when we're deep in anxiety, typically I think we're in this default mode that takes us over, causes us to be frozen. And to break out of default mode, we need that anterior cingulate cortex to come online and go, hey, you've got to move. You've got to do something. You've got to get out of this. And the more we do that, the more we do hard things, there's ways of building that anterior cingulate cortex. One is doing hard things. One is gratitude, being grateful for everything. So doing hard things, being grateful for everything, and meditation is what builds that anterior cingulate cortex. And the stronger your anterior cingulate cortex is, the more likely you are able to self-change what's happening. The more able you are to go, let's move into mobility and be able to do it. The weaker that ACC is, because you haven't meditated, you haven't done the hard things, you've sort of allowed yourself through avoidance to kind of allow that ACC to weaken, the harder it is for you to break that immobility cycle. And the longer you'll stay in anxiety and alarm. So really, it's taking control, understanding that when you were a child, you were powerless, but you're not a child anymore. Now you can actually move into your life. And it's not that it's going to immediately make you feel better. It may take 15 or 20 minutes for that your brain chemistry to kind of rejig itself and say, okay, I'm outside now. I'm doing something now. Which often makes it harder, because if we just got up and we felt better instantly by operant conditioning, we would just start doing that automatically. But we don't, because movement initially for the first maybe 5 or 10 minutes doesn't make us feel that much better. But after that 5 or 10 minutes, it really starts making us feel like, okay, I'm out of that loop. I'm out of that default mode network. I'm doing something differently now. And I can break that anxiety and alarm cycle. And that's it for this week, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Anxiety Rx podcast. I created this show because I don't want you to have to suffer with anxiety the way that I did. And I truly wish I'd known this stuff 30 years ago. It would have changed everything for me. For more support, please explore my best-selling book, Anxiety Rx, or my very affordable online program, MBRX. Remember, all anxiety is separation anxiety, and mostly separation from that hurt part of you. So keep holding on to that part of you that hurts, and I'll see you next time.